Well met, friends. My name is Adam, and this is the Get Pipe Podcast, where we love to pipe. And today, well, as always, I am joined by my good friend Nick, aka the producer guy. Nick, what's up, man?
Hey, Adam. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm actually sick.
I am not doing good. Dang, man.
Yeah, dude, and I don't like how that... I feel like that's not a rare intro to me profess lately, my sickness, which is lately. Like, I don't know why. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm frail and weak. I don't know.
It's like ever since you admitted on the podcast that at one point you believed that just because you believed you couldn't get sick, like, you didn't. I don't know. Maybe.
I swear that worked. And then I watched a YouTube, or I found a video on my phone scrolling endlessly, classic guy my age. And there was this really annoying guy who was saying the exact same thing. And man, did I hate that. Man, did I hate hearing that and seeing that guy talk about it. So from now on, I will, even if I do believe it, I'll never. But I also went about it in like a positive way. I was like, yeah, I don't know, just give it a shot. But
I guess my thing with that sort of stuff is when it comes to like sickness and whatnot, there's something to just the thought of being like less stressed. I feel like that could be beneficial. Like the stress definitely causes some sort of lower immune system, like, or maybe an immune reaction, something like that. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something that stinks, but I don't know. Speaking of my phone, like scrolling endlessly, man, I'm thinking about another social media break, maybe January.
Love it. Heck yeah, man. I've been on one, but I also haven't been.
What do you mean you have been, but haven't been?
I've been in a social media, like, sort of, I don't want to say lockdown, but decrease. So I put
stuff. Oh, that's right. You put your commands or something.
Yeah. So for those of you who are endlessly scrolling and need some help, it's a great way to do it is to have an accountability partner. And whether that's your significant other, a friend, basically, especially on the Apple phones, there's a way to set specific limits for certain things. So I've given my wife the opportunity, or I told her, like, hey, do this because I'm endlessly scrolling. So I was like, make a passcode, I won't know, and set my Instagram for 15 minutes per day.
And whoa, this one, that's for nothing.
Yeah, that's nothing. 10 that's minutes tough. she's at five minutes a day for Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest.
Is Snapchat. That cumulative or is it per?
Yeah,
okay, well, that's good.
But it's, you know, it's one of those things where 15 minutes goes by really fast.
No, for real.
Really fast.
Dude, when I was on my, what was it, the last break, last little hiatus I had, it was my phone was telling me my average, like, phone time per week was about 4 hours and, like, 30 minutes, or excuse me, a day, 4 hours a day per week, which is, that sounds like a crazy amount of time, because it kind of is. That was without social media. You know, there were some, I was still using Discord a little bit, but nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that tracks, like, if you're using a GPS or whatnot, or
it, you know, does.
I'm pretty sure it's just when your phone's active. So that's actually not horrible out of a, you know, a 16 to 18 hour day. Right. So when I got back out of it, I was doing pretty decent. I was talking about it, but recently it's been like embarrassingly high, like 6 to 7 hours. Mm. And that's a majority just my phone being on, you know, social media. And I've talked to Get Wifed about this. Like, it's really difficult being, you know, a podcast host, being a YouTube guy loosely. But for us to have zero connection is tough, especially for, you know, production of the, you know, the weekly episode. You know, we want to post that out. We want to keep in touch with what's going on with the small batches and all that stuff and whatever. But
people in general.
And people, like, reach out and, like, to people us. Are, you know, tagging us and stuff, and we want to respond to them. People are sending in their segments through Instagram or whatnot, asking us questions. So it's difficult to find a way, at least for me, in this weird social media driven world where I'm like, I consider this part of my, loosely my job, right? Like, this is the best job I've ever had, and it's something I want to continue, but there's a requirement to be on the social medias. Someone actually wrote us an email today and was asking about last week's small batch, like little release on, you know, Cup of Joe's. I gave like a little teaser slash heads up, you know, go follow them. And he was like, hey, how does this work? Can you tell me how? And I was like, oh, I just got to follow them on Instagram. And then he responded, yeah, I don't use Instagram. So, you know, a lot of people, for the listeners who don't even use social media, are like, man, these kids are just, you're missing the mark here. I don't know. But I think it's important to talk about because the pipe community is so social media driven. I mean, this is a form of social media, I guess, to a degree, this podcast. But I don't know. My point is I'm trying to find a way to use the show and use Instagram to promote the show without getting endlessly bogged down by, you know, it's like a discipline thing. So anyway, in this whole thing, when having this problem, I was scrolling through Instagram.
Classic.
And I got an ad. I got a really, really awesome ad. And I don't typically watch ads. You know, with YouTube, you're kind of forced to. But with Instagram, you just keep scrolling kind of thing. But I got this one. It was called Opal, O-P-A-L. And dude, it was such an awesome ad. It had like three jars on a counter. And it was like this, you know, this guy, this background dude talking. He's like, what if you could only put, you know, so many coins into so many journeys, so many dreams, so many endeavors, so many plans. And it's like putting a coin or two in travel or putting a coin into quality time with family. And then it's like, but then you find yourself putting all your coins in the wrong, you know, bucket, and it like goes over to the jar and it's got like all the TikTok logos and Instagram logos, Facebooks. And that jar was just so full. And then it was like, it just showed a guy like smash it with a hammer. And then it was like the ad literally said, get the fuck off Instagram. And then it ended. And he said the swear, like I didn't beep it out. It was, and I was like, whoa, an advertisement with swears. Like that's crazy. I've never seen that in my life. And so I was like, that's a cool ad. Looked at the comments to see if it was all gimmicky or, oh, you're just this, and this, your app stinks. And everyone was gassing up how awesome the ad was. And I was like, you know what? I'm a fan of capitalism. You hooked me. Let's see if you can sink me. And so I went into the ad. I checked it out, downloaded it. And it was like basically promising to somewhat to what you were saying. Like it kind of locks you out and you can organize your day based on, you know, social media usage or whatnot. So it sounded pretty cool. So I downloaded it. It was free until it wasn't free. And the cost, which I'm sometimes cool to pay for a cost sometimes. Dude, the cost was $99 a year.
Bro.
I was like, you are high.
For something, that already exists.
Well, if you think I'm going to pay you an obscene amount of money to not use something I own, like I'm paying you to take away functions of something I've already paid for, that is crazy. Like $5 a month, probably still wouldn't do it. Definitely wouldn't do it. A dollar or like $10 for like a lifetime thing, yeah, I'd probably do it. But you're right. There's means out there to already go in and kind of. But I was so mad at $99 a year to pay you to stop using the things I've already paid for. Oh my gosh, man. We did try the method of doing we didn't do the lock thing actually. That's something I'm gonna try now. I had done there's like a limit for a day, which wasn't code based or something. I forget how I did it. It was almost like the inverse. So instead of saying, typically it's like, oh, you want to have your app off limits for these hours. I kind of had it. I made a really big range to where it was only at night or something that I could use my phone.
Yeah, from 8 to 9 or whatever.
Yeah, and then Get Wise was like, well, you're using your phone when we're supposed to be having like our quality time kind of thing. And I was like, yeah, right. That kind of sucks too, but. I don't know. So I'm still trying to figure it out.
But
yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So I might try the thing where I give her the code. There's been times where Get Whites will just take my phone and like hide it. And I become like a Fortnite kid. Yeah. I'm like, please, this, I need my phone.
but like I need to scroll one more time. Like, all right.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't even want to scroll. I just end up doing it. But anyway, so I think July. That different month with a J. January, I think we're going to be doing a little social media hiatus. I'm going to try my best to just post, respond to comments, and that's about it. Do the thing, the whole get sucked in. But
yeah, get sucked in. This should be your new.
I could make an app. Charge it.
Yeah, there you go.
$100 a month.
There you go. But yeah, man, it's been good. It's definitely helped a lot. It's helped productivity at work for me, especially. And a huge thing is like, I love Discord, and I've been a lurker lately. You know, throwing a couple comments in every now and then, but I don't have the ability to like scroll with that because it's so like something someone says something and then it's done. Or I mean, there are conversational based things, but it's not like I can endlessly scroll because I don't want to. I mean, there's so much on there, man. Like I'm at like
So the thing is with Discord is it's almost refreshing in a sense for social media because it's so simple, right? With Instagram, there's the unknown and the TikToks, which I don't have, or even the Facebook Reels or whatever they call it. Like you could scroll and you get onto a video and you just keep finding yourself looking for more, and there's just constant content endlessly. At least with the Discord, there is somewhat of an end, and it's all based on very few pictures, but mostly text. So you know, I always just shoot right to the most recent thing, the most recent heading, I guess, if someone's posting something, and then if I feel like jumping in, I will. But it is very quick. It's kind of like an in and out quick journey, 20 minutes in and out kind of thing. You know, throughout the day, honestly, it's really, really easy to quote, keep up with and not get sucked in to like a endless portal of content, I guess. And
true.
At the end of the day, it's all 100% geared towards the things we like, right? It's the pipe community. It's at least people within the pipe community talking about their, you know, their favorite hobbies, or oh, they found this, you know, picture of a guy smoking a pipe on the side of the road, put it in the pipe spottings page or whatnot. And it's always quick, fun. Okay, got my little pipe chat fill, and now I can go back to my day to day.
Yeah, I love that, man. But you know what I also love was last week's episode, and I know we're not gonna beat to death, you know, this 100 episode recap stuff, but honestly, the feedback that we've had on it has been so refreshing. And I think one of the main things that I just wanted to touch on is the fact that there were people celebrating with us. And that was something that I don't think we expected.
Dude, I completely understand what you're getting at because I felt it. When we're looking in the Discord, when I was looking on Instagram, folks smoking Mac Baron Burley Flake in you know, celebration of the episode as it aired. People were smoking Bob's Chocolate Flake the night before because they were excited. You know, there were several folks doing that. Several folks. There was one individual, you know, Piper Down, a good friend, listener and member of the Glad to Get Pipe Pipe Club. He had posted a picture of him enjoying Dunkin' Midnight and having a wee dram and smoking some pipes.
Wasn't it in the morning?
I don't know what his work schedule is, but it worked out. And the funniest thing is, as he sent that, I just happened to be checking my Discord, and I had just picked up a Dunkin' Midnight. It was literally in my hand. I took a photo of it and sent it. I was like, dude, this is crazy, the timing of
wild.
It really felt like people were not only celebrating, like they weren't celebrating us, they were celebrating for themselves as well. It was just this weird thing where it wasn't like, oh, good job, you guys did it. It was, oh, we kind of did it. You know, I want
the community.
This is my podcast that I listen to. Let me grab, you know, the host's favorite tobacco and enjoy the episode. And
wild, man.
And people took it by storm, man. 4 hours. A lot of folks were finishing within a day or two, which is crazy. They were pushing for that. You know, that was all in part of celebration.
Yeah, it was wild to think that people did finish in a day, because I know I've listened to some 4 or 5 hour podcasts, and yeah, it's taken me many days, especially like right now with the traveling I do. I mean, it would take me many, many days to listen to that. And yeah, just thank you all so much for the support, especially with all the stuff that kind of happened with the episode. You know what I mean? Like the audio fiasco and all this stuff. And I actually got lunch with good friend Dennis Albers. Met up with him again. Again, he's in the area. Super, super great. Shout out to you, Dennis. I know you're listening. But I talked to him about the audio stuff that happened. And I was like, dude, I legitimately felt terrible. And you know, I can say it through text to Adam all I want, but it's like we were literally sitting right next to each other.
I know.
I was telling Dennis, I was like, we were right there. It was perfect. Everything was just fell into place. And then
it totally sounded like we lied.
I know. Yeah, it did.
But yeah, no. And yeah, it was tough, man. We were rolling with some punches. I don't know what it was. You sounded great in real life. We didn't have headphones on. I don't know if that would have even changed it.
No, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we recorded with a filter on and, you know, because we use two different systems. We use, you know, one laptop and a, you know, a computer, and that's, we just weren't monitoring the audio. And I don't know. I guess at the end of the day, because you and I made the decision to just spend the night hanging out and record later, that probably saved us, because we probably wouldn't have picked up on that.
The whole thing.
You know, the whole episode would have been that. Yeah. So the second half, which was arguably the better half just because of what was the content to come, and the, like the segments and all that, it really did make for a good rounding out of the episode. But it happens, man. And then so you had that little blunder. I had the blunder of uploading. And I think we're still having issues with some of the players,
yeah,
you know, the Apples or the podcast or the Spotify's out there, where only 3 hours uploaded. Dude, it's just so frustrating, man. I think when I exported the 4-hour episode, because I have on my laptop, I have Battle of the Briar, I have all that footage, all of that audio, all the editing clips from, you know, just it's just such an immense size of media.
Yeah,
I think what happened was I was running on E in terms of space, and when I hit export, it exports damn 3 hours of the 4 hours, and it just didn't tell me that there was an error or that it couldn't
finish. We are done.
And I don't know how it went through, and it just, I uploaded it because I pressed play on it, heard the first, you know, 15 seconds. I was like, okay, this is the proper edited one, and then I uploaded it. And I actually got up to go to the bathroom around like 4 a.m. just when it went live. And I noticed it was like 3 hours, 16 minutes. And I looked down and I was like, whoa, I thought it was way longer than that. But I just never checked to see how long the final one was, the final edit was. And so I just was like, well, I guess I did edit out a lot or something. I don't know.
And I mean, it was 4 a.m. You were like, eh.
Yeah, I was groggy. I was, you know, get some water, go to the bathroom, go back, get another hour or two or whatever.
Literally.
And yeah, man, it was kind of a huge bummer. We ended up fixing that. So for the folks of you who only got 3 hours into the podcast and thought it very strangely ended abruptly, I really encourage you to check out a different player. Maybe that's Amazon, or you could go to Buzzsprout and find us. There's many different players. Just for the rest of that episode, definitely want to check out the rest of it, because it's really good, and I'm very proud of the ending of that episode. But
true.
Yeah, it's a lot. And some folks are probably only 2 hours in. They don't even know that this problem's going to come in. You know what I mean? Because it's a long... long episode. So, but we really appreciate all of you guys for joining with us and yeah, having fun and supporting the show, man. You guys did so much by
so much.
You know, the pocket jars. We have a few left.
Yeah. So we have 2 or 3 orange ones left. I have to double check.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And then we have maybe 10 of the black ones. As of this episode going live, the quantity should be accurate on our store, which I'm going to do right after we finish recording. I'll double check.
Okay.
And anyways, yeah, we got the pocket jars. We have the tobacco dishes from Mahiram Bespoke Works. Shout out to Stacy. And also shout out to all of you who have ordered those. They're still up for being ordered. Someone was talking to me like, oh, there's only 100 of the dishes. And I was like, that's not true. Anyone can order those. I think it's just within 2 weeks. And I didn't say, I wasn't mean like that. I was like calling them a liar, but you know, go support Stacy, go support small business. And you know, get one of those exclusive tobacco dishes. It's the hard ones. So it doesn't like fold up.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
And I want to reiterate that this one is, you know, one and done run as well. Like this is your opportunity to get the, you know, has a nice little pipe on it. It's got the number 100. The pipe is our logo's pipe from the podcast and the YouTube and all that stuff. And it's got the 100, and it's like a sweet little memento to, you know, being a listener of the Get Pipe podcast from 0 to 100. Right. And maybe you're coming in at 101. I would still consider that, you know, part of the 100 OG crew, fair. You know, the original crew. And so this could be really cool, because what we're not going to do is do like a dish with 200, right? Well, we'll probably change it up, like what we're going to do for 200 or 250 or whatever the next milestone is, whatever we decide that to be. But this could be a cool part of the collection for the folks who happen to be listeners at the time of airing. So we highly recommend that. And I just want to reiterate one more time that we're actually making $0 for, and this is like by design. Ignore all the kitty bells in the background, but you know, we Stacey has been such a huge help for the Galactic Get By Pipe Club, and she's just been so awesome, man. And we don't pay our mods, and so we this don't? Is like a great way
I thought support. She was on payroll.
No, she's not on payroll.
No,
but this is like a really great opportunity to support a small business, as Producer Guy was saying. And dude, I want to see these jars out in the wild. That's what I'm really excited for. So you got 1 week from the time of this episode going live till those are no longer being sold. Mm-hmm. And however, until their end of the year, you got what, another 2 weeks? Two and a half weeks?
Yeah, just about two and a half.
Still got your 12% off on a pipe or many pipes if you want. You could actually, hear me out, with Redeem Pipes, you could buy his entire stock at 12% off and then just start your own Redeem Pipes. You could do that and then make a 12% profit on all of his stock. That would be a solid move. Probably pricey.
Ben's punching the air right now.
Ben's punching the air.
He's like, what? He's like,
why didn't I think of that? He buys them himself.
Oh, man. Yeah. Go listen to the episode 100 for that code. Finally.
You know what? Real quick. I'll throw you a bone. I'm throwing you a bone. This is for the folks who couldn't figure out how to get through 4 hours of an episode. This is an agreement, a gentleman's agreement, a ladies and gentlemen agreement. If you take this code and you didn't hear it in the first time through episode 100, you got to go back and finish it. Either way, it's GP12. Just send him a message. Say, hey, I'm a listener of the Get Pipe podcast. This is to Ben Smith. And you can reach out to him on Instagram. You can reach out to him on Facebook, or even eBay, or his website at redeempipes.com. And yeah, man, we'll get you that 12% off. Go buy some pipes, man. He's got some really, really cool stuff, and he gets new stuff every single day. He always shows the restorers who do these massive lots for him. And he's another small business guy. Like, this started off with probably, you know, buying 12 to 15 pipes on his own, you know, kind of flipping them. And now it's grown into still a small business. He showed me his entire stock and his, you know, little small corner of his loft as we were looking for some Peterson pipes together a few weeks ago to a month ago. And yeah, this is just another great way that we'd like to give back to these small businesses, you know, just trying to keep pipe smoking alive, man. So yeah, GPP12 for the Redeem Pipes 12% off.
Heck yeah. And finally, like I was saying before, our very own tobacco blended by Quinn Crawford of the Country Squire is available, still available. I think you can still get some. Go check that out. Again, you got to listen to the episode for that one. I don't think a bone will be thrown for...
No bones. Very limited. Like, I think we're at like less than 10. But they are
left.
There.
Wow.
And the thing is, some folks heard the code and they just assumed it would be gone. Like, this happened to so many people where they just assumed it was gone, so they didn't get it. And I was like, oh... Let them tell you no. Don't tell yourself no. And now that I say that, it'll probably all those 10 people will go snag it. But yeah, you know, it's always worth trying. That link can be found in our Discord. It can be found in my Instagram profile, or you can find your way, navigate it through the Country Squire's website, or message Quinn Crawford. Message us. We'll send you the link. But you gotta act quick. We're gonna be talking about this blend in just a moment. At least our thoughts. And then as the weeks come, as the packages get out, which they're already arriving in on folks' doorsteps, and people have already enjoyed the tobacco, we're going to be talking about the 100 Earth and Dreams. But man, this is by far been our most sweet and fulfilling contribution to I guess the 100 celebration, to the podcast as a whole. You know, this goes right up there, and albeit beats our Get Piped Pipe. Or Get Piped founder's mug. You know, this is a really, really special thing that you just don't see. And that's ignoring the fact that it's got McClellan, to be honest. And it's the fact that it's a wonderfully delicious tasting Virginia Burley. And it's got a sweet name. It's got a sweet stamp. It's got a iconic orange sweet stamp. And it was blended by a very, very good friend and a listener of the podcast and the iconic place that is the Country Squire in Jackson, Mississippi.
Heck yeah, man. Go check all that out. And yeah, so let's hear about 100 Earthen Dreams. I know, Adam, you've been itching to talk about it because there's a lot of good stuff that you found with the blend. And I think it's important to discuss it and kind of give people an idea of what Get Piped thought about his own blend.
Yeah. So we, as I mentioned in that episode 100, man, we talked about what we wanted, both producer guy and I, and then with Quinn, ways to approach the components. And this is where, you know, we kind of laid out what we wanted in terms of a vibe, of a feel, and base parameters, I guess. So some of the things that I wanted was, of course, burley, and I wanted to have that very boisterous burley undertone, that good smoke. True. And I wanted that kind of earthy, of course, naturally by the name, earthy flavor. I wanted the Red Virginia to not be so strong that it would be bitey, and I didn't want any spice or an extreme amount of spice. And I kind of wanted it to be maybe not a daily driver. That's not what I was really looking for, because if it was a daily driver, then it would be horrible that it was only at 100 units and you can only get one and it would be gone forever. We don't want that. But I did want it to be something that wasn't like a, you know, a one and done kind of smoke. You know, not one of those super holiday festive aromatics that, you know, you throw in your pipe on Christmas Day, maybe Christmas Eve, impress some folks, get a little bit of flavor, maybe too much flavor actually. And then you got to wait for, you know, another year, another occasion to smoke. I didn't want that. I wanted something that was like damn, this is a good tobacco. I wanted the people, I wanted all 100 folks to get one of the, you know, quote tins. It's not a tin, that is in a bag, classic. I wanted them to be punching the air when it was gone, right? So I wanted it to be just special enough to where it was very enjoyable, but it was like kind of like a nice send off, you know, a Boromir, you know, going down the river because he's dead, good send off kind of thing.
Because he's dead.
So, you know, that's what I wanted. And I think we nailed it. I really do. So with that, with those parameters, I wasn't saying we need to make the best tobacco in the world. Mm. You're right. I wasn't saying we need to make my favorite tobacco in the world. And I wasn't saying we need to make, you know, the most iconic tobacco in the world. And it really did hit all of those parameters. It just was a good, solid tasting tobacco. And I'm going to be incorporating some of the reviews from folks as well. Maybe not word by word for word, which I do encourage you guys to send those in, and we'll start reviewing them as we go through the episodes in the coming weeks. But I found, man, that, dude, it just had like these, I'll put a little caveat here. I am not a tobacconist, nor am I a wine taster or a whiskey connoisseur or anything, anything that has some kind of, you know, star or badge to my name that says I can explain things. I don't got that. So bear with me. The first thing I thought of was dirt.
Dirt.
That's not a great seller, right? But it was something enjoyable. Like, I enjoy that dirt taste that comes with a burley. And I first picked up on this back in 2021, maybe 2019. I forget when I went. I went to this, I was actually right after we aired the podcast. So what was that, 2021? Yeah.
2022.
January of 2021. I was in California doing, or was it 21, 22? What year is it now? 23?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, 22. That's where I really discovered my love for burley. Now, I had been smoking burley for a while, but I didn't know that I loved it until that thing, it's called NTC, where you do this long training mission in the freezing cold California desert if you're in January, flaming hot if you go in July, but I was in the cold. And by the end, man, I found my love for Peretti tobaccos. I had brought so much, and it was the burley, and there was something about the burley that I really liked, and it was just this earthy, dirty as dirt-y taste. And again, there's a reason why this didn't reflect on the tasting notes, because our blender here, Quinn Crawford, was like, you know, that's not what
that's not
you don't want to say that, but he got what I was trying to say, and then he kind of translated that into what it actually is in terms of like the connoisseur-y kind of, you know, learned man's palate, right? But it was quite enjoyable. It was exactly what I wanted. And another descriptor I had written down was like a cold wood. You know, it wasn't like a warm, hot wood. I don't really know what cold wood means, but it just had this, this like, I don't know, maybe a slightly frost oak instead of like a heated, you know, burning wood. I don't know how to,
well,
to
I see go more what past you mean. That. When I think of like cold wood, I think of something maybe like a little damp and kind of get that.
Yeah, there we go.
Foresty musk smell.
Yeah, kind of like okay.
You go out there and you just, there's a smell to a forest that has, it's freshly rained or there's a bunch of dew.
Nailing
and it's like, it's one of those things, like, I don't know if it's the moss, a combination of the moss and like,
could be.
Sort of like this, the wood is kind of deteriorating because it's just nature and that's how nature works. You know, tree falls and the microbes eat it up and bacteria and all that stuff. And yeah, I gotcha.
As opposed to like a dry forest, like a hot, dry, like dying bark, dying, you know, it was nothing like that. No crunchy leaves. This is like a more fresh, earthy.
It's alive. It's alive. Yeah.
Forest. So that's kind of what I was getting on like the base undertones. And with that, as the blend kind of burned through, I found that it was quite consistent, which I really did love. And that was maybe not a parameter that I spoke to Quinn specifically, but when I was saying I want a good hearty blend that, you know, isn't like a, maybe not an everydayer, but definitely not like a once in a while, or I wanted that consistency through the blend. So you find with a lot of tobaccos that the bowl changes. That's great for some blends. For this one, it's just not what I wanted. And you know, again, Quinn kind of nailed that. But every now and then you get like a whisper of chocolate. And I really do mean that. I'm talking whisper. I'm talking, you know, just like a chocolate gone. They had it for a minute, but then it was gone. And then I also found that with maybe even more sparse was vanilla. And it was more so in the room notes. When I was smoking in my car with the windows up, I did so many trials, man. I did windows down. I did so many different pipes. I went through the entire 2 ounces in, I think, 7 days. I think we got it on a Friday, and I finished that following Friday after the episode aired, actually. This is the final product that we had. And When I was smoking in an enclosed location, I could smell a little bit of vanilla, and it was so clear, but it was every now and then. It was very sparse, but that in turn became like a flavor, right? Because scent is tied to flavor, right? And as it went back into my nose, I was like, oh, I'm kind of getting a little bit of vanilla, like a vanilla extract, kind of like it. Just takes a little bit to make, you know, your dish taste like vanilla, not to the tongue. You know, we're not putting vanilla extract directly to the tongue, kind of thing. Because that would taste horrible, but this was like the perfect amount of just a little bit of vanilla. And I found it worked best when I smoked at a medium cadence, which is, dude, just perfect. Like medium is in like, you don't have to think about slowing down. And that was kind of what I was talking about with the spice problem of Virginia's that I often have is when I smoke these buns fast, I just don't want to deal with that. I want to be able to puff as much as I want / puff as much as I don't want. And I found that a medium cadence was quite good. Now, if you did huff and puff like a train, it did fry it a little bit, and that was not the most ideal. And I kind of found myself doing that towards the end of a full day of smoking this blend, specifically as I was trying different pipes and pipe shapes. I was really trying to find, oh, I need to pull more flavor, I need to learn more. And I was kind of huffing and puffing, and it ended up frying me a little bit. But man, it was just good. You know, a lot of folks reiterated that idea of a smooth. That was a common word I found in the Discord. This blend is very smooth, which is not something that I necessarily thought of, but I can see it and consistent all the way down the bowl. And like I said, that matters because it just kind of represents us, man. It represents the 100 episodes. Well, it wasn't 100 weeks straight. We had a couple bonus episodes. The first month, I think we had, you know, every other week kind of thing. there might have been a month where we only did one episode just because of training and stuff. But once, you know, come around week 8-ish, 9-ish, 10-ish, you know, we were very, very consistent. And it was something that we have been very strict about, right? And that's something that I found, you know, if the other podcasts can do it, we can do it. If more professional podcasts can do it, we can at least assimilate to do so. And here we are at, what, 8:30, 8:40 on Wednesday night before this episode goes live, getting it in, having fun doing it. And yeah, that consistency is huge, man. So yeah, I would just ask if you guys, the folks, for the 100 folks who did get a tin of this, please send in your thoughts. And and again, you can be brutal. No, I mean, don't be mean, right? I would never, I don't really be mean about any tobacco, but if you don't like it, you can tell me why you don't like it. And that might help us kind of formulate, you know, what was good and bad about this tobacco. Mm. But it's not coming back. So you won't hurt anyone's feelings. Some tobaccos are for you, some aren't. And Quinn's got thick skin. I don't have as thick skin, so I might take offense, but at the end of the day, I would I'd love to hear everyone's thoughts through and through on what they thought.
Yeah. I love it, man. I want to give a shout out to Jim from Emerson Southern Forge. He sent me a lot of samples of actually finer cut tobacco for kind of my cigarette rolling. And I got 10 little samples, all different kinds. I'll just kind of name them off. I got Basma, Bright Virginia. I got Red Virginia, Virginia Lemon Leaf, Red Burley Tips, Ripe Virginia. What else do I have here? I got Samson. I don't know what that is, but it's back for you. Cool.
Well, it's a varietal. I wasn't trying to be. Wasn't trying to be stupid.
But it's funny. we got Maryland 609 Burley. And then the last two are, this one I'm really excited about, Tennessee or Kentucky Darkfire. And then I also got some Latakia. So what I plan on doing, and he gave me some advice of just kind of like the old 20s, 30s cigarettes. He gave me a little kind of like idea of how to blend them. So I have not done that yet. I haven't had the time in the past 2 days since I've got these. So this is more of just a quick thank you to Jim over there at Emerson Southern Forge for these. I truly, truly appreciate it. But I will say in the coming weeks, I will be trying out kind of some of these blends and some hand-rolled cigarettes, and I'll have a producer wife join in as well, just get a puff or two and see what she likes. And I'll probably do a lot of it based off of smell, what I like best. And then, you know, as I'm smoking them down, taste and all that stuff. Going to be super, like, just, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm going to mix some stuff together. This will sound cool. And yeah, I'm very, very excited about it. Tomorrow night, you know, it's crazy, like, to think, like, I gotta wait till, you know, I'll plan on Friday to smoke one single hand-rolled cigarette.
I know.
That's just how it is.
So the biz is.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I look forward to it, right? So it's all this stuff, you know, builds up in anticipation for this, you know, this kind of 15 minutes in the evening where it just gets kicked back in the cold and kind of throw my nice warm jacket on and enjoy it. Hand-rolled cigarette. So again, thank you to Jim for all these, and I'll keep you all updated with how it goes.
Dude, hell yeah. You know who's going to be hating that? Good old JP will be punching the air once he once that time comes around when you're talking about hand-rolled cigarettes and not pipes. But but hey, man. Nah, he's a good guy. He said he's a 12%er to the end no matter what, I really appreciate that. But you know, something I actually hated just the other day. This was yesterday, man. I was going to work, and dude, it was a cold morn. I had just lit up my pipe, and which was actually keeping me on cruise mode. Seven in the morning, and it was really cold. I'm talking 26-ish degrees when I'm driving out. But it was nice. I love a cold morning when I'm smoking my pipe and a little bit of coffee. But I'm leaving my neighborhood, man, and I'm about like a half mile away, and I pass a dead cat. And this is very important to talk about because it proved to me that I am a cat person because when I drove over, not wheels, but with the cow was, the deceased cat was in the road.
What did you do to my boy?
And, you know, the thing is he was parallel to the road. Like he wasn't perpendicular. which implies that probably got smacked and then tried to kind of walk it off thing. And then it was either the cold or just the trauma that killed him. But he was like kind of going towards like the direction of the car as I was driving. And when I saw the little guy on the ground, like he wasn't moving. He had, I don't know when this had happened. It could have been way earlier. It could have been the night before. And I was, it crushed me. I ended up pulling over. Like, what do I do? What do I do? Do I, like, I know he's like, he had to have been dead, right? It was freezing.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I don't know. My wife, I called my wife. She's like, oh, next time. I mean, I'd already kept driving. She's like, you get up, go check to see if you had a caller or something. Really, really horrible. But I was like, I can't in my own heart just let this guy just die on the road like that. So my next move was, as I'm driving to work, I pull up old Spotify and I play this song called Green Fields of France. So for the folks who don't know who that song is, go listen to it. It's a great song, especially by the Dropkick Murphys. And the story goes, it's a, you know, this is a very iconic Irish ballad, really European ballad. And it talks about, you know, a man who's walking through the a graveyard, and he sees this grave, and it's, you know, this private Willie McBride dies in 1916. And the guy's tired and he sits down. He's like, do you mind, you know, talking to the grave? Do you mind if I sit down by your side, kind of thing? And, you know, just chat with you. And he starts asking him questions like, what was it like when you were at war? And this is all in song and it's very beautiful. And he's like, when you died, did they, like, was there a ceremony? You know, because it was World War One, soldiers were just going out, getting killed, and just mass burials, maybe not in like a mass grave, but there was just mass burials and lack of ceremony because you're at war. And so he's asking, did they play the drums? Did they play the fife? Did they lower you down slowly? Like, did you get that? And it's a very touching song. And so the song in turn becomes that honor and that tribute to all soldiers, especially throughout Europe, who fought for a cause. And the song becomes that honored goodbye. So I play that for this little guy. And man, it just totally ruined me. But at the same time, it kind of made me realize, man, I'm not a dog. I mean, I'm going to get a dog very soon, maybe. But I was like, if it was a dog, man, no lie. And this, no hate to the dog fam. It would have been like two beeps and a wave kind of thing. It's just, I'm a cat person, man. You know,
two beeps and a wave. Oh, man.
But which actually makes me want to backtrack a little statement from last week, though. Is that was a joke. Two beeps. I mean, it wasn't, but it was. But what was a joke, it actually was a joke. Last week, we pretty certain guy kind of hit on the old pit bulls a little bit. Mm. We hit on the pound dogs pretty hard. Yeah. And that was absolutely in jest. And there is some legitimacy there, right? There is a reason dogs are there. But another reason for that is there's a lot of misunderstanding. There's a lot of horrible stigmas with these dogs, right? And that's kind of why they're in that position. And so what I realized actually when a good friend of the show reached out, good old Justin from Pipes for the Pals, our pal Justin. Dude, he sent me like four or five photos of like this pound rescue dog with a pit bull. So freaking cute. Having so much fun with his family and his kids and like loving them and kissing them. And like the kids are like jumping on the dog. And it was just the most wholesome scene ever. And, you know, he wasn't mad at me for the comments, but he's like, nah, I just wanted to show you this. Like, you know, like there is definitely a bad stigma. And what I realized in him showing me that I, to a degree, that you and I, to a degree, kind of added to that stigma, which I didn't love that. You know, I'm still sitting by myself. Like they, you know, they definitely have some, you know, behavioral issues at times if they're not, you know, trained properly, if they're not taken care of properly. But I don't want to add to the stigma. So big apologies to the pit bull fam out there, and all the other breeds that just scream and, you know, aren't loved and now are not loved even more. So then they're brought to the pound and it's just like a sad spiraling down thing. But anyway,
yeah, I'll add to the stigma. No, just kidding. No. it's one of those things where I have never met in person a bad pit, like a bad animal that has that stigma attached. I'm always just like, yeah, these beautiful animals are the way they are because
they're so
terrible
too.
Humans, you know, did them wrong. Just like, you know, people love black labs or retrievers or whatever. If someone treats them wrong, guess what? They're going to be, they're going to come out wrong. So there's never in my mind any blame placed on a specific animal or breed. I will always blame a human being for kind of causing them to be the 100%, way they are.
Yeah.
Because I've never literally in my life met like every pit bull or, you know, shepherd, German shepherd or whatever it is. You know, there's some stigma attached to those.
But yeah, it's just 100%. Like,
yeah, the one behind us at my house, like my neighbor, the biggest baby, like it's a giant German shepherd and it's got a mean bark, but like you go up to it, he's like, hi. I'm scared. Yeah. Like, you know,
a good friend from back in high school had a pit bull, and man, oh, that dog was so cool. Go look him up, Gus the pit bull. He unfortunately very sadly passed away, but Gus the pit bull on Instagram, he got like super Instagram famous. He's just such a sweet little boy, and he was a huge baby. But the pit bull, but anyway, so much love to our dog people. Even though when I pass one that's, you know, might have been a little smacked by a car, I might give it two beeps and a wave. That don't mean that I don't love the old guys. Big animal lover. We've been very clear about that. But man, I don't know. Let's get into this episode, man. I'm excited for what's to come. Let's get into the holiday season. We got a really cool, fun Christmassy holiday-y. But at the end of the day, man, if you're if you celebrate something else or don't celebrate anything at all, it'll still be fun because we're goofy. Yeah. And yeah, I'm excited. We got a little pipelines coming up.
Woo! And
I'm really, really ecstatic for it.
Heck yeah. Well, thank you all for smoking and joking with us. And of course, for your support of the Get Pipe podcast. I mean, episode 200 is coming up pretty soon. So the best way to support us right now, keep sending those segments to us. We love it. Send us some holiday ones, but not too many because the holidays are going to be over faster than we think. So send us your segments. All your submissions to our email, show@getpipe.co, or you can send them to our Discord or just, you know, message us on any social media platform. But also while you're at it, go grab all those things from episode 100. Go grab some pocket jars for me. Us. Go grab the trays from Stacy. Go grab that 12% code from Ben Smith at Redeem Pipes. And go grab what's left of that tobacco. While you're doing all of that, on your phone, which you aren't scrolling because you put some time constraints on it, is don't forget to rate and review this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and any other listening platform. It means a lot. Give us a follow while you're there as well, because you don't want to miss these episodes at 4 a.m. I'm telling you, you really don't. But we've got a great show planned this week with another edition of Pipelines. And following our primary topic, we'll get into some this or that holiday edition, and then we'll move into some Ask Adam Anything, a little bit of AAA, not the car service.
Hell yes. Big thanks to the producer guy for the producer guy thing. Now, before we move into our primary topic, I want to remind you to take a deep breath, savor this moment, kindle your flame, and pipe as you please.
Listeners of the Get Pipe Podcast, we got another edition of Pipelines. This is our poetry writing series where this is where we write our own pipe smoking related poems. We have transitioned this over the past 2 years from kind of just writing two whatever poems or stealing some or whatever it is to we write a serious one and a more lighthearted one is what we will call it. And the lighthearted one can be, you know, an adaption of a poem that already exists. It can be one that we create ourselves and is just more lighthearted in nature. But it's a way for us to continue to write and bring poetry because I think we all need to hear some poems every now and then. There's a lot that goes into it. You know, sometimes the door the red door isn't just a red door. Sometimes the author puts a little more thought into it and, you know, makes that red door red for a reason. You know, we always talked about in high school, like, maybe the author just wanted a red door, but here we dig deep into some, maybe, you know, philosophical ideas, especially in the more serious poems. But yeah, go check out the Get Pipe bookshelf for several editions of this fan favorite that started out as a joke and has continued and is arguably one of the true fan favorites of the Get Pipe podcast. But Adam, what topic do we have today?
Yeah, man, a little holiday with a duh. Of course. True. You know, dude, there's nothing. I love listening to live podcast, like podcasts as like I'm going through as they're releasing episodes, and we're in the Christmas time, the summertime, wintertime, whatever it is, you know, the autumn time, and you get, you know, the 4th of July ones, you get the Christmas ones, and you just get to hear, it just makes it so more relatable, and it makes the holidays more, a little bit more fun. Now, one thing I don't love is if you're catching up on your backlog, and, you know, you're coming in from the future, and you're on episode 253 right now, and it's like May 6th, and you're listening to this episode. if you're me, I'm not doing it. You know, I'm skipping right over it, probably, but... you know, the 12%ers, well, maybe I'm not even a real 12%er, but yeah, I think this is always a good time to incorporate the holidays. I always loved when the Squire would do their segments and they'd be holiday themed. So I'm excited to get to what I believe is, I don't know, it's my show, but I can scroll down on our little show notes. I think we got some holiday ones, which are going to be pretty fun. But yeah, man, that's it. There's nothing. These ones, at least mine, are going to be a little bit less serious. So on the series, as producer guy told you guys, we do have like a very clear, like, we put a lot of effort into one, and then the other one, hey, I don't want to say less effort, just more fun, more goofy, more not as serious kind of thing. Mine are both pretty entertaining, in my opinion. Maybe not as serious. I don't get hashtag deep on any of these, but I do have a lot of fun with them, and I feel like that's great for the Christmas time. So we'll have our producer guy go first, as he would anytime. And we'll do your quickie fun one. I don't know how quick it is or how long it is, but we'll do the fun one.
Oh, cue the music. Puffing through the snow with a pipe held so bright, or the hills we blow. Smoke rings in the night. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits light.
Ow!
Oh, what fun to sing a smoking song tonight. Oh, jingle pipes,
oh my all God. The way.
Oh, what fun it is to smoke on this festive holiday. Hey, jingle pipes, savor every draw. Oh, what joy it brings to puff amidst the winter's awe.
Whoa.
I got a whole nother.
No, I don't. You have more?
I got more. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride. And soon my dear old pipe was glowing by my side. The tobacco was rich and bright. A blend so fine and gay. We laughed and smoked all night in a merry, joyful way. Oh, and you get the idea.
Wow. Did people listen to all of that? I don't know.
Gosh, I hope.
I will not be when I listen back. Well, okay, so you did.
So the theme I was going for on this one was the idea. No, I'm just kidding. You all know what this is. Jingle bells.
Through the snow with a pipe held so bright. Well, that don't make no sense, but okay. Over the hills we blow. What are we blowing over the hills?
Smoke.
I think he just went to thesaurus or rhymezone.com.
I did. I really did. Hey, I mean,
the thought that counts.
It is the thought that counts. It is. And you know what? I gave the audience a little singing action.
Dude,
wasn't
jingle
the best.
Pipes, man.
Jingle pipes.
Piping. This is why we're never going to do like a rap battle, but there you go. If there's anything close to music, it's going to come from our pipelines. Because, dude, ode is a great
An poem. Ode.
And that's kind of what you decided to go with, it seems. Yeah. Jingle pipes. How are our pipes jingling? What? You know what? Maybe maybe this is a horrible idea, but I feel like if you're a high class artisan, you could maybe make a Christmassy pipe and have like two very, very mini bells kind of adorned. That could be kind of cool. Mm. Maybe not one, like some that are so small where they're not like actually making a significant amount of noise. That could be pretty cool.
You could also design it so it looks like a jingle bell, right? Just put like indents or grooves into the bowl. I know that's not ideal, but a lot of people like, for example, I think of like a pumpkin pipe, right? Like shout out to Talbert Pipes, like Trevor Talbert. He makes his awesome Halloween pipes every year. And I don't know, I feel like you could kind of maybe design something where the whole bowl is rusticated, except you have these indents that are kind of smooth, so it looks like a jingle bell. I don't know, maybe not, but then you put the tiny little bells on it. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I like the idea of just like a beautiful billiard or something, and instead of, or maybe around like what would be a military mount, some kind of metal. There's also like, I have this really cool piece that this can be really hard to explain, but it's a Nautilus from Il Cerchio.
Yeah.
And around like the little nubs of the Nautilus within that, like there's like a little gap, right? And there's like a hole in the briar between the shank, and around the one of the like limbs, I guess, is this little chain. It's very, very, very small. And it's super, super cool. So if you guys happen to go check out Il Cerchio on Instagram, go scroll way back. You'll find this Nautilus. It's got this sweet little gold chain. And that could be really cool if you did something like that, but that size, and just had two little bells hanging to the end of it or whatever. That could be kind of cool.
Yeah. I think it would also get really annoying. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I'm talking, it would be so small that like, you're not getting like an actual jingle bell. It's just going to be like a slight rattling that really wouldn't have much of an effect. Like, that chain, if you were to spin it, you're not going to hear it. It's just
okay, that's fair. That's a fair point. No. Yeah, but I, with this again, it was mostly just a play on dashing through the snow, jingle bell. You know, it's not. I was trying to think of good songs to do.
Yeah, what blend is so fine and gay?
I mean, any blend that you enjoy, Kringle Flake, Cult Blood Red Moon.
Okay, so we have it on record. Cold Blood Red Moon is fine and gay. I don't disagree. That's pretty fine and gay tobacco.
It is. I mean, here's the thing. If you're looking for
what's a not gay tobacco, I feel like barley's not very gay.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I don't know. I guess like when I think about it, whatever brings happiness to your.
That's fair. Yeah, I'm thinking of it like because if I were to, you know, first thing that comes to mind, gay tobacco, aromatic, right? And that's because I'm thinking about how, you know, fruity and fun and you know, just joyful the scents are and the flavors, and it's, you know, it's holiday, it's get the vanillas, the creams, the pies, whereas like those are always surrounded by gay times, right? And I feel like a Burley, we look at our tobacco through time, Burley and English, are those are normally like for like the more grungy. I don't want to say sad, but I like your thought about it. Like we're not talking about the qualities that make it like a gleeful pipe tobacco. It's what happens to the smoker, you know, the gaze in the eyes of the beholder kind of thing.
It is. But like when I think of an English blend, I think of something very smoky, right? And like, though that happens, you know, that happiness may come to someone who likes English blends. Maybe in this context, we're thinking about something that brings happiness, like it's a utilitarian sort of happiness. And most people, I think, would like an aromatic. They would like that cherry. They would like something that reminds them of their grandfathers, which were a lot of those conjure blends that were, you know, So... because when I think of this song and I think of who's smoking this pipe, I don't think of a young guy, to be honest. I think of a grandpa, you know, he's got his white hair. He's just so happy smoking his, you know, Graybow or whatever he's had for 50 years. And he's smoking the same old tobacco that he comes in the friggin' 8 ounce bags or whatever it is. So
yeah. Yeah. I think I would go that route here. At least that's what I had in mind, is, you know, is kind of adapting this song that already existed. So yeah. Hope you all enjoyed that, because I don't know how much more of odes you'll be getting from Mr. Producer Guy over here.
Yeah, no, but very unfortunately, and this is so unplanned, you're getting an ode from Get Bites.
No. All right.
Now I will cue not the music. Be singing this one. No, we'll cue the music, but we ain't going to be singing, but here we go. Maybe I am going to sing. Frosty, the Snowman Pipe 2023 by Missouri Meerschaum Corn Cob Pipe Company, featured in the catalog found at www.corncobpipe.com. Was a jolly happy pipe.
Oh, man.
Was a jolly happy pipe with a corncob bowl and an acrylic stem and a top hat chamber made out of coal. Well, not actually made out of coal, but the color of coal. Frosty, the Snowman Pipe 2023 by Missouri Meerschaum Corncob Pipe Company, featured in the catalog found at www.corncobpipe.com, is a goofy pipe, they say. It was made of corn, but the children, the corn, would warn. Now the cob life is the way. There must have been some rustica. I don't know the next part of this. And doesn't it? There must have been some rustica in last year's top hat chamber. For when they smoked the bowl through the ash, they produced not one but two this year. Oh, Frosty, the Snowman Pipe 2023, was alive as it could be. And the stem they pack could be red or black, all equipped with nickel for thee. That was supposed to rhyme, and it kind of does, but my retelling of it wasn't very rhymey. This one is a little goofy title called Frosty the Snowman Pipe 2023 by Missouri Meerschaum Corncob Pipe Company, featured in the catalog found at www.corncobpipe.com. What a great rendition. I think they are going to love this.
What a great name. How'd you come up with that name?
Yeah, it was, you know, I really had to really get into character for this one. Yeah, we're talking about a really cool, goofy, fun, happy holiday pipe that Missouri Meerschaum does. And it's a pipe that looks like Frosty the Snowman in a weird way. So that what they do is that it's 100% made out of cob, at least the bowl is, and the bottom of it has like your classic, almost like a Morgan shape. This is one of their pipe series lines. It's got a very bulbous, round, apple-y kind of bowl bottom, and then the bowl turns into a top hat. So if you take the Morgan pipe, you just put the shape of a top hat carved from corn, lathed from corn into the pipe. And it's just this very large chambered pipe that has a little snowman. And it's like a little snowman, frosted snowman. And it's one of those things where there's no two eyes made out of coal, no carrot nose, or what is it? Button nose? Yeah, he doesn't have a carrot nose. Come on. There's no button nose, no two eyes made out of coal. But you could very clearly look at this thing and be like, oh, that's Frosty. I don't know how they do it, but it just works. And, you know, they launched this last year and it was a lot of fun. They sold out really quick, just like a sweet little fun thing that they were doing. But this year, just like the story tells us, they must have smoked a lot of rustica because they're going all out this year, a little bit woozy in the head. And they made the pipe much bigger and they added some variation. Now you can get like a Danish style filter, a 6mm filter, a black stem, or you could go with a red stem to really emphasize the Christmas spirit, which is my preferred one. Now that red acrylic one does not have a filter. It's just a regular standard, as you would find in the US, unfiltered pipe stem. And man, it's super pretty. They add that little nickel band. It's just freaking sweet. And it's fun, man. This is what I was talking about, where we didn't want like a tobacco that was occasional. This is definitely an occasional pipe. I'm not smoking this thing come September 9th, right?
Or like August. January 1st.
Yeah.
Pretty
much. You know, yeah. No, I totally agree. So this is but really fun. This is a party stopper, you know. Yes. And pipes already are, right? When you go to the function and you bring out the pipe, you're like, oh, wow, look at this. But if you go to the holiday party and you bring out this, dude, it's so much cooler than a regular corncob pipe, because corncob pipe, everyone's like, oh, Frosty. then you get bring a frosty pipe that is frosty.
That's a corn cob.
It's so cool. That's so cool.
Yeah. I like having the stigma of being cool while smoking a pipe. So my boss, he was like, he's got a very nice house and he was describing his Christmas aesthetic. He's like, I really love it. Like, got all this stuff, you know, and he showed me some pictures and videos, very nice place. He's like, you know, all it needs is Nick over there with his nice jacket smoking his pipe and the aesthetic is complete. And I was like, yes. So
hey.
It was a nice compliment, right? And it's one of those things where the pipe is associated with that sort of stuff. It kind of completes, you know, it completes a room. And this corncob pipe would complete kind of the holiday setting. And what's wild to me is it's made of a single piece of cob. I didn't know that initially. And it's so cool how they get it. And it's perfect. It's beautiful. Perfection in every single way, especially for the holiday season.
Yeah, man. So that was fun. I love when folks go out of their way to do fun. Like, I don't know, man. This is one of those things where it's like, we're not trying to make a dollar. We're just trying to have fun. If this sells or
true,
not, this is just cool. And yeah, like, I was telling Get Wived, I would never, like, I just, it's such a, like, a put on my desk at work kind of thing. It's like, oh, do you actually, I mean, I would smoke it for sure, especially again on Christmas, but anyway. So that was the idea behind that one. It was funny how we both did odes. That was probably a given. I bet folks listening probably predicted it, but it was funny when you started singing, I was like, oh my God, there's no way. So anyway, but let's turn the knob a little bit. Let's get a little bit more serious. I think, what do you got? What's your tale?
Mine's pretty serious. Yeah, I won't give the title away, so I'll just get right into reading. December arrives, a quiet thief of warmth. Its days short, its nights an endless starless sea. In the heart of a city, draped in festive lights, sits a solitary figure, shrouded in memories. The air is crisp, laced with the scent of pine. Carols float, a distant echo of joy, now muted. He sits, a pipe cradled in his trembling hands. A relic, a tether to times now clouded in sorrow. Once these streets rang with laughter, his heart a vessel of love and light. But fate, in its unforeseen cruelty, stole away a cherished soul one silent, snowy night. Now, each puff from his pipe is a whisper, a silent conversation with the ghost of yesterday. The smoke, like tendrils of memory, winds and curls, painting pictures of a life once vibrant, now gray. Around him, the world moves in festive haste, oblivious to the weight of his heart's lament. But in this ritual of fire and tobacco, he finds a momentary escape, a temporary rent. In each billow of smoke, a story unfolds of love that warmed the coldest winters, of laughter that echoed in these very streets, of eyes that sparkled brighter than any Christmas lantern. The pipe, a vessel of solace in his solitary grief, connects him to a past so dearly missed. In its embers, he sees not just an end, but a reminder of love persistent as mist. As the smoke rises, so do his memories, a dance of joy and pain interwoven and deep. In this small act of rebellion against sorrow, he finds peace, if just for a moment, in grief's steep. For though the void left behind is vast, and the pain of loss like a never-ending night, in the glow of his pipe, in the curl of its smoke, he finds strength, a flicker of an inner light. So he sits, the world a blur of reds, and greens, his pipe a bridge over a river of tears. And in its warmth, he honors the lost, embracing the love that outlasts the years.
Dang, man. I wasn't even serious. I was just sad and dark. And
yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, well, let's walk me through this one.
Yeah, so I went into this writing, this poem, thinking about, first off, the joy that I have during this season, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this time of year brings me a lot of joy with small children now. That is exponentially greater. And, like, I've never really during this season had much pain or sorrow, right? I've always had happiness and joy and all that. But, you know, especially my father, he was a police officer. He, you know, he worked on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day very often. Yeah. And, you know, he would come back with stories about, you know, murders, about car accidents, about just death and, you know, just accidents and stuff like that. And, you know, I couldn't help but think about how this time, you know, not only for things that have happened during the season, but even this year, you know, people have lost loved ones. They've, you know, relationships have been broken. Whatever it may be, there's so many, you know, people who are in maybe a down season right now, and they're surrounded by joy, and it can be very hard to, I guess, kind of cope with that or understand it or just go through it. And I can only sympathize here, right? It's very hard for me to empathize because just naturally throughout my life, I've had a very joyful time in this season. And I haven't had to celebrate really any Christmases feeling a loss, but that doesn't mean that I cannot sympathize with those that have. And again, maybe it's not a loss. Maybe it's just a hard time. Maybe it's they lost a job or something like that. So their holiday season isn't as bright as maybe years previously.
Yeah.
Literally, whatever it is, that kind of then came onto my heart. And this character, again, I don't necessarily have an idea of who it was they lost or, you know, what it was that got away from them. You know, in this case, it was a person that they lost, but no one in particular. And yeah, I just wanted to write about how the pipe, as we often talk about, can be, you know, a solace to all of these things. Yeah, therapeutic. And it affords you time to sit and think about things. And how often have I not sat and thought about things going on in my life and how I do yearn for that, those times and those moments. So yeah, I wanted to bring it to a serious note because I wanted to remember and think about and, you know, just kind of call out in a good way, like give call to those people who are struggling during this time, because most of the world, most of the United States, whatever it is, we're celebrating. And there are also many people out there who have scars, who have lost people, lost things. So yeah, I didn't mean to get too serious and too sad, but I just wanted to bring that to the forefront because I think we forget that people are struggling during this time. So like hearing a Merry Christmas or a Happy Holidays, you know, 37 times a day, whatever it is, can wear on someone who's still grieving with whatever it may be. So,
dude, I can kind of throw in a little relation here loosely, right? You know, we really do try to put the folks, you know, first, you know, for whatever they're going through. And I've had a very fortunate life, right? But there was a particular year. I was a second lieutenant in the Army. It was my first year in the Army, I think. And maybe it was my second. I don't quite remember. But I was at Fort Benning, Georgia. And then you know, this, like, this is Lucy. This is just my own experience. I know folks out there have had suffered way worse. Your poem really does pay a tribute to that, but I did kind of want to discuss this. I went home actually for Christmas, but I didn't have, I honestly don't know what I was thinking, because if you have like days off or days off, if you take the leave, you take it. Or no, this is what it was. That's right. Gail Weift was graduating college. She graduated a semester after me in December, and the graduation was held on like December, yeah, I don't know, 18th, 19th, something like that. And I only had a select few days. I think I took like four or five. I think it was four. So I got there, was in time for the little graduation. And then we celebrated our Christmas, you know, with the fam, both fams, you know, in, within those three, 4 days. And then I had to come back. So the way it worked out is I got back, I think I flew out Christmas Eve back home, or maybe it was even the 23rd. I don't quite remember. But the bottom line was, I was alone for Christmas, and that was the first time I'd ever been alone. So again, very grateful. And we've had some small Christmases, right, in my day, especially as a kid, you know, when things were tough and there was recessions and, you know, switching of jobs and whatnot. But, you know, at the end of the day, I was with my family. And though I was a kid, and I was like, wait, why was Santa, you know, bawling out last year and this year he's not? At the end of the day, like, I still had family, right? I mean, seriously, yeah. Like, as a kid, you don't know what the hell. Fortunately, for some reason, I never got the bug where it was like, oh, why did Santa give him like seven PlayStations and Santa gave me, you know, like a nice pair of socks? Like, spam. I never asked that question. I didn't think about it like that. So that's something that's going to be tough when you have kids now. I'm sure parents out there have to deal with that damn thing.
Yeah. I mean, heck, my son may even ask it, because it's so hard. Like, I'm not getting him an iPad. He's three, and there are probably some parents out there that are handing their kid an iPad or something this year. And it's like,
and that's not a cut to them. It's just a fact. Like, it's like, we have different approaches, right?
Or, right.
You know, or it means, to be completely honest too. That's like, maybe you don't even have the means to do the things that you wanted to. Maybe you wanted to give him an iPad and you just couldn't, you know?
And again, I know I've talked about like our budgeting, financial stuff, like, 100% not within what we're doing this year. So, that's a fair point.
No. So I'll wrap my story up real quick, but I got back home. I'm pretty sure I flew out December 24th or something, and I was alone. Now, this was your first year in the Army, so everyone's going home. You know, we were doing really hard training, at least at Fort Benning was infantry training, so all my friends were gone. I was the only one there. And I had a house, which was cool, you know, so I'm very grateful for that. The Army was paying for it, but I lived on post, and I decided to go do like a little beer run. You know, I was like going to get some Sam Adams kid, just hang out, play some video games by myself. And I actually don't think Nimbus was there. I mean, he might have been. No, Nimbus was there, which was saving grace. But I drive out and I go off post. So it's Christmas Eve. I go to this little gas station, a little convenience store, to go pick up some Sam Adams kid. And inside the gas station, man, they had like the slot machines. Oh. And it was like 11:30, maybe 10:30. No. Yeah. And I saw like people, you know, my fellow Americans sitting there crushing slots at a really rundown gas station, man, on Christmas Eve, you know, folks sitting there like in their pajama pants, like just, and that is not a good place to be, right? Like, I'm not a judgmental person, but they would, I'm sure they would admit the same thing, right? You know, and I was alone on Christmas, and seeing that made me really sad. It made me feel like, man, like, they're either alone themselves, just like I am on this particular holiday. Maybe they're alone for the long time. Maybe this isn't just one Christmas. Maybe they're addicted to gambling. I'm sure that was probably a big part of it.
That's
fair. You know, maybe their family's at home. But it's just like, it was sad, man. It was really, really sad. And I didn't end up getting no beer, because I was like, I don't want to have beers and alone now. I think I got like some chocolate milk or something. And I went back home to Nimbus. And it was really rough, man. I was really sad. I was really depressed to be alone. I didn't have my family there. And, you know, the misfortunes, and again, I say this really loosely, man. Like, I am quite privileged, but I, looking at that scenario, I would say that they were in some kind of misfortune in life, whether it was temporary Or maybe they're balling out and they're like, dude, hell yeah, let's go to the casino. And it was just happened to be the one little place, but I highly doubt it. And it just, it made me feel for those folks and the folks who don't even have the opportunity to gamble their money. Maybe the folks who don't even have money to gamble, you know, for whatever reason, man. And, you know, to the parents out there, it's got to tell their kids, sorry, Santa's going to come in 2 weeks, you know, like when they get paid kind of thing, you know, that's
right.
It's just really tough, man. So, but I remember having a really hard time being alone. And I know some of our listeners, they will be alone. They will be alone that day. And I do hope a ridiculously long podcast somehow serves as somewhat of an extension of, you know, community, family. It's tough, man. I appreciate you writing that one. You know, I really do. Cause it's hard, you know, it's sometimes pipe community can be happy go lucky. And we got to think of the reality of the world. And I mean, it's not always that way.
And it's interesting to always think about that. Even people who, again, maybe haven't lost something, they're still mourning like for the old life that they had. You know, I know I went through that phase of kind of mourning the old Nick, so to speak. And yeah, they look at, like you were talking about, last year was great, but this year is not. And there's this grief of who they used to be and what they used to do, or maybe what they're continuing to do. So yeah, I just wanted to hit all parties on this one and just say, we're thinking about you. We love you. And yeah, you know, it's a hard time for a lot of people and it's a great time. So it's not to downplay the folks that are having a hard time and, you know, downplay the folks that are having a great time. So anyways, let's end this on a great note, on a happier, maybe a little more fun note. So Adam.
Yeah. I think I'll fit that one. I'll pay the piper. What does that mean? That's a phrase. I don't
know. It is, but it's like paying at this point ourselves because we're.
I don't know if it's that kind of piper, but anyway, this one is definitely going to satisfy the a little bit of fun here. So this one's called Santa on Christmas Eve, getting ready to pack up his sleigh. And he's enjoying a pipe.
That's a great
pipe. Oh. And he's enjoying a pipe first before he does all those things. End title.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Get wife wrote that title, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, wholesome.
It is a little long, but yeah.
It's a know, little. Still. Well, okay. Let me say, I said, I need an idea for a poem. And that was the 15 words she said.
She said, Santa on Christmas Day. Getting ready to pack up his sleigh, but first he smokes the pipe. And you're like,
Yeah. I was like, that's brilliant.
Beautiful. Okay. I love
it. So, this type of poem, we talk about in our show that we like to learn a little bit. So this particular poem is what's called an acrostic poem. Now, an acrostic poem is essentially loosely, I'm sure there's other elements, but I just took the main one because this was difficult enough as is, to where the first letter of each stanza or of each line of the poem makes a word or a phrase or a sentence. So I'm not going to reveal it to you. You're going to have to listen very intently because some lines are longer than others, but I will try to make it very clear that there is a break in between lines. But I'll let you have the little secret, cute little secret message, but this one's a little bit longer. So we'll get right into it.
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess.
Mirthful embers flicker, a warm delight. Enjoying a moment before the momentous flight. Reveling in the gleam, Santa's in command. Reflecting on tasks, pipe in hand, Saint Nick's ready, his plan is grand. Yuletide, tales dance in the smoky air. Christmas spirit is here, there, and everywhere. Hearty chuckles echo as the chamber burns bright. Reverie surrounds him on this peaceful night. Is there magic in the tea of ATF? Savoring flavor. Savoring flavors and indulging scents, he is swept away as if he was deaf. Tidings of joy emit from the pipe's sweet song. Merry minute after minute makes him strong. Aromas wafting, memories in tow. Sweet 100 earthen dreams in gentle flow.
Ooh.
Perched by the hearth, a sedated state, in comes the warmth, while Santa contemplates. Puffing on his pipe, a ritual so divine, exhaling wisps that intricately entwine. Silent night falls, still is his northern base, marveling at the stars and the vastness of space. Onto his sleigh, Santa Claus climbs, knocking back the reins as he's done a thousand times. Emerging through the clouds, Santa's pipe alight, riding like lightning, a courier in flight. Still listening to 100. Where there's smoke, there's briar for the rest of the night.
And the night after that, and the night after that.
And the night after that, after that.
True.
The way I'm supposed to feel.
Dang. So I can see what the message is, but I'm not going to say it. Yeah, that's a good one.
It's cute. Yeah, it was fun. So
that's really
cool. this is hard. This is, there's
took some time.
It took some time, but it was fun, man. So I honestly, the idea was great. I was like, that's exactly what she had said. Like, I could do something like that. So the whole idea was, Santa's getting the zone, you got Tom Brady putting on his headphones before the big game, Steph Curry putting on his headphones before the big game. I don't know, whoever these goats are out there.
Putting on their headphones before the big game.
Yeah. Santa's putting on his, lighting up his pipe, putting on the Get Pipe podcast before the big game, right? This is his time. This is him ready to go and like a courier. Not the courier, but a courier. Get out there and just start delivering some freaking packages to the happy glee lads and lasses of the world. I like the idea of thinking about him and just chilling. Like, he's like a calm dude. All the elves are in bed. Mrs. Claus is in bed. A lot of the films show it like he's kind of flustered and they're running out of time. The sleigh's broken. The engine's broken. The reindeer's leg is broken. Whatever it is. And it's like a last minute flight. Yeah, there's not enough cheer in the world to run the sleigh. Dude, that ain't the reality. It's reality at all. What's happening is everyone's gone to bed at like 8:45 p.m. and Santa's just chilling. He's like, I got a few hours before I got to go to work. And he's smoking a pipe. Nice warm fire. He's reflecting on the task. He's got his pipe in hand and he's like, okay, all right, that's right. We're going to go this route. We're going to go, we're going to take I-5 and then we're going to, fly over to I-6.
I swear he said ISIS and I was like, wait, they get Christmas presents.
No, they don't get, they're on the naughty list, but yeah, man, he's checking it twice, dude. He's got time to check it twice is what I'm saying, man. So, I don't know. Then he's just reflecting on the tobacco too. He's like, man, this thing is really kind of singing today. What is it? And he looks at the label. It's, 100 Earthen Dreams.
Oh, okay.
Get it before it goes away forever. But yeah, man, it was fun, man. This is just my vision of like a calm, cool, collected Santa where, like I said, films really do try to, it wouldn't be super cool of a film if he was just like, okay, I got to go do my job thing. But that's kind of the reality, man. That's the Santa I know. That's the pipe smoking Santa I know.
Did the AFT arrest him or what?
I originally wrote it as, is there magic in the tobacco? And I was like, that's lame. So I had to throw in a little, ATF tobacco. Is there a little magic in the tea of ATF? It was almost like a wrapper, honestly. That's how you, kind of like an ode right there. That would be a sweet line to the tobacco wrapper.
Yeah.
Little cube cut. I don't know. This was fun. So I think that probably brought us to a slightly lighter mood.
Yeah.
I think about jolly old Saint Nick and his pipe smoke. Well, there's a time where everyone envisioned the man smoking a pipe, and times we got to go back to that.
Yeah, I agree.
That's when he was Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No film. Is he smoking a pipe? And if he is, I bet he's pretty calm and cool, collected.
Yeah. Not flustered. You know, also, can we talk about how Santas have like jet engines on their sleighs now?
Yeah. Like
that's fake news. That's
that is real. So fake news. What's yeah. I don't know.
The Christmas spirit is alive. Are you kidding me? It's alive, baby.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I don't have kids, so.
I mean, I don't know. Just the, I know I was talking about people aren't and, you know, certain folks aren't, but like, I don't know. Generally the holiday spirit, Christmas spirit. I don't know. I think Santa can like,
yeah.
it's like a desalination thing. You take seawater, make it into water. Santa can take holiday spirit and make it into Christmas spirit.
Oh, no, I totally believe. Yeah. I was saying, you know, the fact that all these companies will do like a holiday cup or something. And back in the day, you used to call it Christmas cup, another kind of change. I'm cool with that, man. Like, it's all the same thing. You know, it's not like Santa's like, oh, damn, I lost some energy because they changed it. You know, it's now the holiday cup.
The holiday
you know,
like, cup.
No, it all counts. He's still, you know, cashing in on that bag.
True. That bag. Oh, man. But I love it. I love it. That was phenomenal. I want to say, like, if someone's out there who can get the phrase that Adam put in this poem, you'll get a shout out.
That's lame. Give him some real spirit of giving, man.
Yeah, true. I will save a 12% pocket jar for you, and I'll send one. It will be the black one.
There we go.
It'll be a black pocket jar. You have to message me as soon as you hear this on Instagram, and I will check it. Whoever's the first one to tell me what the phrase is that Adam has, I'll send you a 12% black pocket jar.
Nice. It's going to take a real 12% to figure that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's true.
Like I said, there's a lot of weird breaks. And
there are going to be people that are driving. They're going to like pause it, back 15 seconds, could write it down, pause. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We'll just be safe about it. And that's all we
please,
ask.
Please be safe. So, cool. Let's roll some music and get into some stuff.
Segments.
Let's go. We got two today. We got a little bit of this or that. And then we got a little bit of Ask Adam Anything, AAA. But before we get into that, let's hit some this or that holiday edition. For those of you who are just joining us, this or that is where Adam and I both get to choose between two things within a general topic. We get to choose this one or we get to choose that one. And these are from our amazing friend, Piper_down. Piper Down, thank you for sending these in. Again, they're all holiday related, and we do five, but it looks like we got a little six today. So a little sixer. Love it. The first one today is giving presents or receiving presents.
I almost want to say we've had something like this last year. Yeah. And unfortunately, this is very unfortunately, my status has not changed. I love things. I love products. I'm a gift receiver, man. I love giving. Well, if I was loaded, man, oh dude, I would love giving out stuff.
Oh,
I do love
yeah.
giving out stuff, but the downside, the like selfish, greedy part of me is when I do give gifts, I'm like, oh man, this hurts because I ain't loaded. So every time, like, hurts in a sense or like, you know. I mean, maybe that makes it more meaningful, right? Because there's like a financial hurt. A hurt isn't loose. Like, I'm not giving away 70-inch plasma TV. Plasma's not even a thing anymore, but whatever kind of TVs, right? But I don't know. But I love gifts, man. I'm a sucker for gifts. How could you not be?
I know.
I know you're kind of the opposite, I think. Or maybe you're not, because you're actually a bad gift giver, right?
I'm a terrible gift giver. So I was going to actually say receiving gifts.
Okay.
Just because, like, I don't know what to do. Like, I got producer wife. I got her some gifts this year, but it was like, I don't know. I don't know. I'll leave it at receiving gifts because I'm bad at giving them.
I have this awesome gift for get wifed. She's gonna lose it. but the joy of me getting a gift is greater than the joy that I will have having given her this amazing gift, which is so selfish, but it's the truth. I'm not denying it. It's just who I am, baby.
I mean, again, I love it. I think there's selfishness even in giving gifts. I don't think so.
If you're like, oh, I feel good giving things away, that's not selfish. Yeah. That's like the ultimate form of
maybe not selfish. But like, yeah. Anyways, we won't get into that discussion all over again. But let's move on to our second one.
Michael Scott given the iPod at the Christmas swap or whatever. Oh. That was selfish. That was selfish gift
giving. I thought you were going to say Scott's tots.
Oh, gosh. We can go on about that. That's my favorite episode. Anyway,
so funny.
Next question.
All right, number two, Elf or A Christmas Story?
Ooh, Elf. By far the best Christmas story. Elf. Despite the fact that I just kind of crumbed on the idea of Christmas cookie, crumbed on the fact that Santa had a jet engine and he didn't have a Christmas spirit and was in shambles. That was a perfect film. Gosh, I love that movie.
Good. It was so good. Producer wife said they created like an animated version and she's like, it was terrible. Like they basically took the live action, I think with like the same script and everything and tried to make it animated for some reason.
Same voice acting? Was it?
I think some of the same. I don't know if it was all the same.
I feel like if it was just animated, but they just took the actual audio, it'd be okay.
Just like some AI software that just made it look animated. Like, yeah. That'd be fine. Anyways, Elf all the way on the list of really only two movies that I need to watch every year. Elf
I'm so thankful they haven't made a sequel.
Yeah, no.
I'm so thankful.
They never should. They never will.
What's that other movie, though?
Christmas Vacation. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. You have to watch that every year?
Yeah, man. We watched it growing up, and I've brought Robin in on it. That's producer wife, you know, and yeah, I don't know. I love it. It's a classic. It's just kind of that old school, you know, mid to late 80s humor. And I don't know. There's just something about it that is so wonderful. I think Elf is a better movie overall, but Christmas Vacation is just a classic.
It's a good classic.
Yeah, good classic. Okay. So, all right. Oh, here we go. Number three, Christmas Vacation or Home Alone?
Ooh, okay. Well, I am going to I'm gonna watch Christmas Vacation over Home Alone, but Home Alone is a better film.
I see what you mean.
Home Alone is arguably
like quintessential.
The most iconic Christmas film, arguably. You know, there's some other ones out there, especially some older ones, but you know, everyone knows Home Alone. Because the cool thing about Home Alone, too, is it like kind of transcends Christmas. It's one of those great Christmas movies that you could watch like in January, March, you know, Sunday evening kind of thing if it's on.
It's like Die Hard.
Yeah, kind of. I'm going to go with watch Christmas Vacation because it's fun, it's quick, it's over. But yeah, you got to respect Home Alone.
Mm. I'm going to choose Christmas Vacation based on our immediately previous conversation. So, all right, number four, sled riding or snowball fight?
I'm gonna go with sled riding. Even though I don't really want to, because like while it's really fun, especially like tubing and all that stuff. Well, I've actually never sled, ride, rode,
ridden.
I've never rode in a sled. I don't think so. Not a real one. I've maybe been dragged around on a sled,
like the metal one with the two bars
or whatever, and you got the wooden sled. Yeah. My problem with like those winter activities is once you go down, you got to go back up.
Yeah, you got to. Never climb cool back to me. Up.
You know, it's kind of a downer. But so is getting a ball of piss ice in the face. So I don't know. Snowball fights were never really that cool to me, unless you had like a fortress. Actually, that'd be pretty cool, but that's a full day activity. Yeah. And by the time you're ready to have the snowball fight, you're freezing cold, your gloves are soaked, it's time to go in. You get like five snowballs and it's like, tomorrow's going to be epic, and then everything melts.
I'm going to choose snowball fight, and I got a good story. At school, I did a similar program to what Adam did at Norwich, except I went to a large public university, like Division I school. We had a cadet program there as well. And on the first major snowfall of every year, we had this cadet versus civilian snowball fight. So we're talking,
oh, hell yeah,
very small portion of the entire school population, which was like over 30,000. And I think the amount of cadets was like, I don't know, probably no more than 1,500.
Yeah, that's about right.
And overall, no one, like, not everyone joined in the snowball fight. But, I mean, we're talking probably a couple thousand people on this giant drill field area that we had. And you, of course, have the tacticians of cadets. You know, you have freaking future Army Rangers. You have future Navy SEALs. And people, you know, made shields out of whatever. Like, there's people out there with real metal, like, freaking Captain America shields. The civilians brought the same game. Like, they're building up forts all day. And there's like Facebook pages with 1,000 people on it or more. And it's like at, you know, 2 p.m. on whatever day it commences. And then you have the cadets on one side and the civilians on the other. And then, I don't know, there's an agreement and someone just goes, go. And like, you all just charge at each other full force. Like, I was tackling people, taking people out at the knees, throwing snowballs at their foreheads. And dude, that is awesome. So I will do snowball fight. And I just think of back at my house, we had, again, we were in a cul-de-sac. So we always dug out all the snow from our pretty long street that they plowed to the end of the road. And yeah, we dug tunnels in there, had Nerf ball fights. It was so fun. So I'm going to do that.
Damn, I love that. That's a good.
Yeah.
I almost wanted to go snowball fight on behalf of you because of that
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's really, really good.
All right. Our fifth one is Secret Santa or White Elephant gift exchange.
So from my understanding, these are the exact same thing. And he's asking, what do I call it? Right? No, I'm serious.
I don't think so. I don't know. We did where you take a number, where you basically get a number. And that's the number that you get to choose amongst the people. So like,
oh, I'm thinking of Yankee Swap versus
Yankee Swap. That's what I was thinking.
Okay. That's why I don't know what I call it. Yankee Swap.
Yeah.
It's not White Elephant to me. It's Yankee Swap.
Okay.
Which is the exact same thing. You're right. Everyone gets a number and
right.
We just did this the other day. They called it White Elephant. I was like, what? Like a Yankee Swap? Okay. No, Secret Santa. That's right. No. Okay.
You're clear.
I'm brought back in. I'm back. I'm zoned in just like Santa before. You know, he goes to deliver the goods. So I like a Yankee Swap.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit cooler. The Secret Santa is really sweet in the sense where you get to focus on something cool. There's a lot of pros and cons to both. Because if you get something you don't like for the Secret Santa, it's tough. That's a tough one. You know, it's like, man, and if you ball out, not in terms of like money, but if you just get a really awesome gift for someone and then you get like something kind of lame just because they didn't put a lot of effort into it, you could argue the exact same thing with Secret Santa or with a Yankee Swap. You know, people really, my friend was telling me, they're like, yeah, they really took the whole X dollar limit to heart, you know, and it's like someone made like a really nice, got like a nice board game and wrapped it up very nicely. And, she ended up getting like a used pom poms from what had to have been like a Goodwill in like a grocery bag, not even wrapped. You know what I mean? Like that's not cool.
Yeah.
But I still think the Yankee Swap is kind of fun.
I agree. I think it's especially fun because there's like an odd sense of competition or something in it. Cause it's like, who can get the worst gift or like, oh, I really want this. And then you're like kind of nervous the whole time. Like, oh, is someone going to take it? Like, does someone think it's cooler than I do?
Yeah. And
I agree with
there's some tension there with the whole stealing thing.
There is. There really is. And yeah, I agree with you though. Like someone brings a Bose speaker and then it's like,
oh yeah.
Okay. Like, yeah, of course everyone's going to want that.
But it kind of like, it ruins all the other gifts.
Yeah, it does ruin it.
But that said, it's like, oh, hell yeah.
You can get a Bose speaker, bro.
So we did the Yankee Swap yesterday at a little Christmas party at work. And like I didn't participate. It was pretty cool. Like there was like probably 100 people in the room.
Oh, wow.
If you brought a gift, you could obviously participate. There's probably like 20 people maybe. But the thing is, bro, six of the gifts were the exact same thing. They were all picked up last minute at the shop at On Post, the PX. And it was like they're cool if there was one of them, but there, since there were four or five of them, there was like a coffee mug with a little stuffed animal in it and some coffee and some hot chocolate. Like one of those classic, just quick buys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, eh. Yeah, those are the downsides, but it's always fun to kind of do the whole stealing thing. If you get a big group there and you can throw some hate words, some fighting words.
Don't you dare.
Boil some blood. That's fun.
Yeah. All right. Our last one. This is a no-brainer. Santa with a pipe or without a pipe?
I like how he added that one. This is technically our sixth one, but yeah, of course Santa with a pipe, man. Hell yeah. Pipe. Santa with a get pipe.
Oh, true.
Smoking a get pipe blend.
Oh, even better. I am going to say with a pipe. No brainer there. But if you have any more this or that that you want to send our way, we would love it. We'd love if you send them to our Discord. Send all five at once. Say, you know, you can say the specific topic, or, you know, we can pick it up. We're smart guys. Or send them to show@getpipe.co, and we'd love to hear them all. And our second segment is a little bit of Ask Adam Anything. This is where the community as a whole just gets to ask Adam whatever they want. Doesn't have to be about pipe smoking. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. It's just to get to know him a little better. The man that is the man that is known as Get Piped. So our first one today is from, this is an interesting name. Zynik?
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it, but.
They ask, is it justifiable to buy a Morgan Bones pipe for around $50 when I can get a Rossi or a Molina fully finished for roughly the same cost, give or take $10 to $15?
I love this question. He had posted this generally in the Galactic Get Pipe Club. It was actually not a submission, but I was like, this is something that I think a lot of folks would get some value out of, at least the way I'm looking at it. So yes and no, right? So when Morgan Bones came out, it was branded as the budget pipe. It was branded as the cheapest briar pipe, quality briar pipe that will smoke flawlessly like a regular briar pipe that was affordable. And the caveat there is it didn't have a stain. It was, some of them could be a little bit gnarly, but again, no flaws internally. And it would have a pre-made stem fitted on. It would be good to go. That was cool. And it still is cool. And it has since become like a cult favorite. A lot of folks will only smoke Morgan Bones. You know, every single drop they try to get one kind of thing. They have one of every possible shape and size just because it's cool, man. So other folks would be like, man, why would I get a Peterson for, you know, $160? Like, I think they just dropped some Sweet Plateau pipes, which I talk about in the future, for $200. Like, oh, I could get four Morgan Bones for that money. I totally get that. But when you ask, is it justifiable because you can get a Rossi or a Molina? Justifiable is an interesting way to put it, right? That's if you're looking at it as it is only a budget pipe and you're only getting it for the purpose of saving as much money as possible. If that's the way you're looking at it, maybe not. Maybe it isn't justifiable because you can get a very comparable pipe nowadays for just, you're right, within the ballpark, maybe just $10 more, you know, max. We've talked about Rossi before. It's essentially a Savinelli. I don't want to say Savinelli second, but it is by Savinelli. They purchased Rossi, the Rossi Italian pipe making company, and it's you know, the briars that aren't fit for being a Savinelli. So they're not seconds. But they're quite affordable, man. You know, $60, you're going to get a finished pipe. So in that regard, again, if you're looking for the best budget, if we're talking cheapest quality, you're going Morgan. But if you're looking at like the most complete pipe, on a budget, you would go with the Rossi or like a Molina, but I don't think that's necessarily a great way. Despite me having a YouTube video that did really well, I think it's got like 6,000-7,000 views on Morgan Bones. Ooh. It's called the best budget pipe, and it is the Morgan Bones, man. The Morgan Bones you get, like, I have two. Actually, no, I think I have only one left. I've had probably five or six at its height, and then I like to trade them out. But I have one that's like you got to have it. It's like a sweet bang around pipe. And then I have like the Morgan Bones one. Ask that question later. I have other opinions on that one, but I still have it. But yeah, I think it's not necessarily like it has to be, you don't have to purchase this because it's a cheap pipe. Like I said, a lot of folks have the means to buy many pipes, but they choose to buy the Morgan Bones pipe because it has a really sweet appeal. It has a really unique appeal within the pipe sphere that other pipes don't, right? Like there's very few pipes that are like that. Other pipes companies have been doing like a naked pipe or like a barley pipe that has really come after the Morgan Bones. Like, you know, Chris Morgan wasn't the first by any means to do like a natural unfinished pipe, but it definitely solidified its presence within the sphere. So yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a finished pipe, of course go with the Rossi Molina. But you get, nowadays it seems like you get a Morgan Bones because you want to have the gnarliness, you want to have that freshness. You know, if you were to start charging another $10, people would still be getting the Morgan Bones over the Rossi. If they were to start charging $80, people would still be getting the Morgan Bones over the Rossi. So yeah, it's up to you, man. But I guess what I'm trying to say is justifiable is maybe not the best way to frame it, and just kind of frame what you're looking for in that regard.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Our second question is from Andy SC83. Good friend, Andy. He asks, what video games have you been playing lately, if any?
Andy, what a great question. This one's like kind of like a fun one, definitely not pipe related. And I wanted to kind of throw this one in here. I've not really been playing any video games. And I used to be a huge video gamer. You guys all know, so you 12%ers know, I used to do this Twitch streaming thing. We talked about it last episode as well a little bit. And producer guy's been there the whole time. It's something I really, really miss. Unironically, before seeing this question, for the first time in months, I did load up a video game. A game called Hunt Showdown. I have so many hours in this video game. It's an online, I think you play it on the Xbox, the PlayStation or whatever, but I play it on the PC and I was ready to go. It's like this cowboy game. You're in the bayou, you're running around, just you shooting cowboy guns at, you know, other players or whatever. You know, it's the games are around an hour. That's like the max time in a single match, but they're normally over in about 30. I loaded it up. It's been 3-4 months since I played. Died within 19 seconds. And yeah, once you're out, you're done. You got to start a whole new game. It's no respawn, no Call of Duty shooter. And I was like, well, this is not. Funny enough, I sent a picture of the loading when you're in the lobby about to start. I was like, hell yeah, back at it to my buddy. You know, we'll see how I do. 19 seconds later, I'm just headshot once dead. So that was kind of rough. But man, I was actually thinking about, you know, there's a lot of cool video game news going on. This is hilarious. For anyone who doesn't even like video games, you're going to love this story. This company, they made for 4 years now, they've been kind of promoting this game, an online survival game called The Day Before. And it's a massive multiplayer online. You run around, you got to get loot. You're in a post-apocalyptic world. You can go to like the gym. You can go, you know, you can buy like a house or a ranch and then like outfit it, and you get all this cool equipment. You can customize your character. It's really cool. At least that's what they wanted it to be. And they were gassing this game up. And it releases on December 7th on an early access. Now, early access means the game's not complete, but if there's any issues, they're allowed to test them out. They can refine, you know, mechanics. If guns are too strong, they can, you know, nerf them, fix them up. Within 4 days, this game was one of the top 5 worst reviewed games in all of Steam history.
Oh no.
Steam is the platform for most computer games that you can get. And it's just this huge, massive library. And man, there's been some pretty horribly written, reviewed games. They're all calling this like a fraud, a scam. Like this developer has just been scamming everyone, just lying to them. Like they didn't put anything that they promised. None of the trailer stuff was accurate to what the game was. It was horrible, I guess. And within 4 days, the company shuts down.
Oh my gosh.
Which is a crazy short amount of time to just shut down a studio. You know, like this is insane. And it, like the story gets you know, even funnier as, again, if you were to look up the reviews for it, like IGN, GameSpot, all these other iconic gaming review media companies all rated it a one, and the reviews have just been torching it. And they started giving out these refunds for the game. And someone commented like, wow, cool. You know, this is on Twitter. Thanks for, you know, at the company, thanks for the refund or whatever, but I can't believe you guys straight up lied to us about this game. And the developer responds, yeah, you have your refund, but it happens.
What?
Yeah. He's like, this is our first big, this first big game we've ever made. You know, SHIT happens. Like, what? What do you mean? What do you mean?
No, it
happens.
No, it doesn't.
I just gave you $60 or whatever for a video game, and you've been, oh, dude, this is crazy. This is such a funny thing. So I wanted to kind of tie in that little bit of video game knowledge. So while I play video games, my cats play, you know, real life games. It's just called smack the hell out of the dingle dangly ball. But yeah, I appreciate the question. I do have a plan to maybe start doing a little stream sometime with maybe the GetPipe community. Yeah, true. I was thinking about it. Actually, the other day, I did make a new account, or I changed the name of the old account. It's something GetPiped. I think it's GetPiped Gaming. Don't go follow it. It's not. This is a long time.
I'm about to go follow it immediately.
Yeah, go follow it on Twitch.com, Twitch.tv or whatever. But I figured, like, I wanted to play Red Dead Redemption. And I was like, it would be cool if some of the folks who, you know, hang on the Discord were doing nothing on a Friday night, Saturday night, and want to just come hang out. And it's a live system where you can chat. I can smoke my pipes. You can smoke your pipes. We can do our chat and I can play the damn game, you know, just low key. I think it'd be pretty cool. So, Andy, I appreciate that question. We'll give you more on that in the coming months, days, years, or whatever, if this even happens. But it was something that, you know, producer guy would, you'd appreciate, because just like old times kind of thing, you know, it would be funny to see the old mixed with the new become the new and just, I don't know, be pretty cool.
Heck yeah. I actually downloaded a video game this weekend and I'm super happy about it.
Which
I got
one?
Cities Skylines 2.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the city building stuff. So I'm so bad at it.
Build stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so bad. Everything's ugly. I'm killing all my people apparently because
I love that, where you gotta manage like the economy and the hunger and the whatever, the sanitation. And
yeah. I put my industrial section up, or was it upwind of my residential, so all of the pollution is going over and killing everyone. Anyways, don't want that. I'm gonna demolish it or send a tornado in or whatever in you know, when I log back on or whatever it is. But yeah, anyways,
that's awesome.
Love that. I love playing video games, and producer wife helped me doing it, so that's what I think I like about it, is to do it with her. It's just a good kind of calm down.
Yeah.
So
yeah, dude, get wife used to, like, would she watch the streams and stuff, and she'd be chatting with us, and she wants me to play this one game that it's called Stray, and it's about literally a stray cat. It's in like a post-apocalyptic world, and I was like, I'm not going to do it until you can actually watch me. She's like, oh, I'll come watch you, but like, nah, you got to have like your own audio and stuff, because I mean, on the computer it's just through my headphone jack. But anyway. Yeah, it'll come, man. But I'm glad. It's always fun, you know, sharing that with other people.
Well, brother. 101 in the books.
Oh yeah,
I love it, man. I was looking forward to talking, and I'm glad we're here. So, brother, where can people find you when they are done listening to the Get Piped podcast?
YouTube.com/getpiped for some of the premier YTPC pipe smoking content. I'm trying to dabble with shorts a little bit. Like, I'm kind of game planning that one. Should be a little fun.
I just want to say the people's comments go to our show email. For some reason, it's hooked up that way. People were loving the last short you did. They were loving it, but also like hating it. They were like, yeah, no crap, dude.
But it was good though. It was like, it wasn't like angry, you know, it was fun. But anyway, If you want to hate on it, you can on Instagram as well. And that's @get_pipe. But if you follow me, make sure you follow my right hand man, GPP_producer guy. It's not too late. And it'll never be too late to join the Galactic Get Pipe Pipe Club, our online pipe smoking Discord account, server anyway. And it is a great place, especially for those, the folks around the holidays who don't, you know, have as much of a community in your area. Maybe family's distant, whatever have you. You can come over to the Get Piped Pipe Club on Discord. It's going to be a really, really fun time this holiday season where we're having some pipes, we're having some smokes, we're having some good old chats. We're sharing all the deals and all the cool pickups we find, and whether it's online or maybe it was a gift. And we actually have our own little Secret Santa that we're running. So by the time of airing, you won't be able to get in on it. But next year, you absolutely could.
I love it, man. Love it. But please share this podcast with anyone and everyone, not just the pipe smokers, you know what I mean? Like, share this with people who like poetry. Share this with people who like Christmas and the holidays, the new age pipe smokers, the old pipe smokers, the codgers who are smoking the same blend that they've been smoking for 40, 50 years. But, you know, don't just share with the men. Share with the woman and those children too. But Adam, Get Pipe, my good friend, what are your wise words of wisdom this week?
Yeah, I mean, we got a couple of weeks until the holiday, so I'll reserve all my Merry Christmases and I guess Happy Hanukkah. Yeah.
Yeah.
To all our Jewish listeners, we're well, actually, we might be towards the end of it by the time of this going live, but I hope you enjoyed your 8 crazy nights. That was cool, I think.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know, but it's cool. You'll listen to the Adam Sandler song, the Hanukkah song. It's my only understanding of how Hanukkah is.
How it works.
Is that one song, and it's great. But anyway, hope that didn't offend all our Jewish listeners. But man, happy Hanukkah to all you folks. And yeah, we'll close this one out. I don't really got too much to say, so I'm just going to extend that one to the Jews out there. The listeners of our podcast anyway. I guess to the Jews who don't listen to the podcast, happy Hanukkah to you too. Anyway, I got to go because I am off to save the pipe smoking world. But once again, I am not sure how I'll pull it off. But until then, you've all just been piped. And until the next piping, we are out.